O generous God, this word, your word, for this story of life beyond death, we give you thanks. With joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word in our ears and through our eyes. Enliven our hearts with it, that we might also speak your good news of eternal and abundant life. And help us never to use our reason against your truth. Amen. Mark's Easter story is at least a public relations disaster, don't you think? What is ordinarily celebrated by all of us as good news with great joy for all people seems to end abruptly with Mark's last line, where Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, who had brought spices to the tomb so that they might anoint Jesus' body, went fleeing from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. Bad enough, but it gets worse. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is how the oldest and most reliable manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark end. Afraid, with terror and amazement and fear. You know perhaps already that the Bible tells us over and over, do not be afraid. But Mark says clearly when it's all over, these believers were afraid. Now I know what you're thinking, or what you may be thinking. There's surely another story. If you're reading in your Bibles, you might notice that Mark's Gospel has more verses, about a dozen more, at least in your Bible and in our pew Bibles. And these extra verses, Jesus appears again to Mary Magdalene, and she does go and tell the others that Jesus was alive. And then Jesus appears to believers himself, and then they handle snakes and they drink deadly poisons, and it's a real Easter party. Yes, our Bibles include these additional verses because they appeared in less older manuscripts. But under scrutiny, the writing isn't consistent with the rest of Mark's Gospel. It doesn't appear in the earliest, most reliable manuscripts, and the stories appear to be lifted from other Gospels, all of which leads to the belief that these verses were added later to appease believers later, lest we all do what the women appear to do in Mark's story. That is, say nothing to anyone and be afraid. You've heard me say it a lot, or perhaps you've read it a lot. Fear doesn't get the last word, especially in this pandemic time, that faith flattens fear. Even though Mark's Gospel apparently ends saying that fear is the last word. Again, I bet you're thinking this is not the story you came to worship to hear this morning. Family and faith, this day has always been one for us of utter joy. The news that Christ is risen, that Jesus is raised, that he was not there in the place where they laid him, that he went missing. It's as if, however, no one ever read the end of Mark's story, where the women flee in fear and where they fail to complete the instruction given to them by the young man in the white robe to go and tell Jesus' disciples and Peter that he was going ahead of them to Galilee. Jesus is crucified, and then face to face with the word and evidence that he is raised, that he is not dead but has been made alive again, that he is going ahead of them, the women, so afeared, so taken over by frightfulness, failed to tell anyone the good news. Could there be any more bewildering narrative possibility? Where at face value, surely we have to score this too as an unmitigated Easter disaster. The tomb is empty, but what is on the loose is fear and fleeing and failure. Margaret Amer, the D. Thomason Professor of New Testament Studies at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, recently observed, "Once you understand that the Hosanna of Palm Sunday means save us, you might understand why the crowd cried out, 'Crucify,' when their liberator was captured, tortured, and brought out before them by the imperial forces. People turn away from what looks like failure. And if Jesus himself could look like failure in his suffering and crucifixion and death, that's not a real great way of winning, of course, dying. Surely that's what Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome looked like, fleeing the tomb afeared and silenced. This is not the right story." So we distance ourselves from Mark's ending, which ironically is exactly what happened in Mark's most likely added later on verses for someone's behalf. But I urge you, look again. See the women. Hear Mark's testimony, the first ending, and reconsider your own witness. From a human point of view, maybe Professor Amer has it right. We don't do well with failure. And if you think for a moment that these women failed, you might want to check your own testimony at the door. Because usually we don't leave this service to run and tell others the good news either. We head home to join our family or other family Easter dinners and celebrations and the like. And like Thanksgiving, when those relatives with the different political stripes show up around the table, our Easter afternoon conversations where we seek to admit and confess and encourage others by our belief that Jesus was raised and that second chances are real and that God loves us and God loves them and fear is never the last word are difficult conversations for us too. I bet those aren't always our Easter afternoon conversations. In fact, in that way, I suppose we're much like the women of Mark who don't say a word. But I don't think the women failed, and neither should you. That we're reading these details from Mark's gospel at all demonstrates that the word about Jesus' resurrection escaped fear's grasp. That we know precisely that the women ran afeared and failed to say anything to anyone at all means exactly that someone, somewhere, somehow spilled the beans. In other words, Jesus being raised from the dead couldn't get swept under history's rug and buried forever. And like Mark's women, we get second chances at redemption too. Because if we're honest, we haven't spent every Easter day telling the good news either. And we don't always speak up or speak out when what we believe and know to be true in the world. Jesus dies, but he is raised. And God's promise is that if we are united with him in a death like his, we will surely be united with him in a resurrection like his. Second chances are real, and fear never has the last word. In the face of the women's fear, word of Jesus' resurrection still manages to escape. How's that happen? And in the face of our fear, hope should remain that God will yet prevail. And we need it too, for God to prevail. I saw a meme online this week, attempting maybe to address the state of our nation in some ways. It said, in New York, it's now legal to buy weed, while in Georgia, it's illegal to drink water. I'm sure it was referring to new legislation recently signed into law in each state but particularly the new laws in Georgia that were meant to address disputes over voting procedures and practices. As I understand it, the voter legislation in Georgia was not just about who is eligible to vote, or how they might register to vote, or what is required in order to vote, the methodologies for voting and the legal counting of votes, but within it a provision that if you're waiting in line to vote, it's illegal for someone to give you a drink of water. In a Christian nation that ours claims to be, that a cup of cold water is once again at the center of our attention, in fact, not giving one, when Jesus promises a blessing to anyone who gives a cup of cold water to another, should absolutely speak to our failure to follow the one who died and is raised. It's just one of our disasters. This in a time when the water situation in Flint, Michigan has not substantively changed in the years since the public water supply was made a public health disaster by state and local elected officials. This in a time when water rights in the nation's heartland, where they grow a lot of our food, along with the use of chemical pesticides and nutrient additives, are the causes of disastrous algae blooms in the Gulf of Mexico and in lakes along the way and in the Mississippi River that are disrupting marine life and shellfish industry more than 1,000 miles from the source, impacting waterfront jobs and livelihoods in our own region. Not to mention that just today in Florida, there's another water disaster involving a collapsing wastewater reservoir that's threatening people's homes and livelihoods and so forth. So ask yourself why things have to be made harder for some people but not for others, or why some people always get a short end of the stick, and why there even has to be a short end of the stick in a world where Jesus says we can make things better, not worse, if we choose, if we want to do so. But there is yet hope. Because if Easter means anything, it is that God will somehow prevail in spite of us. And we should not be silenced. Jesus died, he is risen, and fear cannot hold the good news at bay. The days of fear and fleeing and failure are numbered, just like the domination of empires, God is saying. So maybe instead of trying to distance ourselves from the women in Mark's story, we should instead be distancing ourselves from being silent or silenced. Rather than rejecting the story or insisting on changing it, we should recognize our place in it. Rather, shouldn't we be speaking loudly of God's kingdom, frequently and often, about its coming into the world and living into it, especially so that fear will have no place to hide? So, family and faith, seek the Spirit. Share your truth out loud and love like Jesus loved. And word will spread. Speak of God's kingdom, live into its ways, taste the bread, drink the cup, be filled with the kingdom's joy and love and relish it and share it, so that disasters and nightmares and all forms of fear might fade away. All authority and power and dominion to the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord, now and in the age to come. Amen.